In order to achieve a world free from multiple sclerosis, we need to better understand the hopes and concerns of MS and stem cell research. From January 16 through January 19, 2007, the National MS Society and the MS International Federation are hosting a stem cell summit in San Francisco and inviting a team of the world's leading experts in the field to collaborate and to share their special expertise. Through this conference, we are seeking to better understand the promise of stem cell research in multiple sclerosis and to map out next steps to ensure all meaningful avenues of MS research are pursued. We are pleased to bring you Stem Cells and MS Today and Tomorrow, a podcast series we have developed to introduce you to some of the key areas and topics being covered during the week. Each day, you will meet an expert working in a different area of stem cell research. These conversations will provide you with an overview of some of the conference's important proceedings. I'm Wayman Johnson, chair of the National MS Society's National Board of Directors, and I'm also a person living with multiple sclerosis. I will be your host for the series. Thank you for listening. Today we are talking about embryonic stem cells and MS research with Dr. Douglas Kerr from Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Kerr, you work on embryonic stem cells. What role do you think your area of stem cell research will play in improving MS treatments in the next 5 years?
Well, I think there are two ways where embryonic stem cells will be helpful within the next 5 years. The first is that we can use embryonic stem cells to create the cell types that are damaged in multiple sclerosis. That is, we can use the embryonic stem cells to become oligodendrocytes or myelin-producing cells and the neurons that they would normally myelinate. And so the real benefit of that approach is you can create in a cell culture dish a model of multiple sclerosis. And in so doing, what you can do is examine why the demyelination occurs in response to immune cells, how to protect that from occurring, and how to protect the neurons from injury in response to that demyelination. So in the short term, the embryonic stem cell really becomes a tool to study disease. I think beyond that, then we're talking about transplantation. And really, embryonic stem cells represent a limitless supply of oligodendrocytes. That is, that the embryonic stem cells can differentiate into literally millions and millions of oligodendrocytes, and ultimately we will start to see transplantation clinical trials in which the embryonic stem cells are transplanted into demyelinated areas in order to remyelinate axons.
You recently had success using mouse embryonic stem cells to restore function in spinal cord injury in rats. Do you think this approach holds promise for human beings with multiple sclerosis?
I do, and I think the approach that we took using embryonic stem cells in one of our recent publications is really to reconnect parts of the nervous system that were disconnected. In our case, it was paralyzed rats. There was a disconnection between the spinal cord and the muscle, and we use the embryonic stem cells to become motor neurons and to reconnect with skeletal muscle. And the result of that study was that the animals began to walk again. And it was a very exciting discovery, and it was really an important proof of principle experiment that stem cells can be used to rewire part of the nervous system. And that certainly is the case in multiple sclerosis. We know that people get weak, numb, tingly, lose bowel and bladder function, in part because of a disconnection syndrome. And so the concept of using the embryonic stem cells to form a bridge between those two disconnected segments is one which we clearly will see in our lifetime.
Dr. Kerr, what is the key message that everyone should understand about embryonic stem cell research in multiple sclerosis?
I would say that the key message is that it's coming, and that this is a technology which will arrive. And it's a very, very powerful tool in so many ways to combat the various aspects of multiple sclerosis. And unlike current therapies, which may attack a single aspect of multiple sclerosis, one could imagine that embryonic stem cells represent a very broad tool to treat all of the aspects of multiple sclerosis. But along with that comes an appreciation that embryonic stem cells are complex. We don't fully understand them, and it's really going to take some time, many years, before they become that type of a therapy.
From your perspective, Dr. Kerr, will stem cell research lead to viable therapies for MS? And if so, how long do you think it will take?
I have no doubt that stem cells will be viable therapies for patients with multiple sclerosis. I think it's going to take several years. And I think what really is incumbent upon us now is to make sure that these therapies are safe. We have very tantalizing clues that they are effective, at least in animal models of disease. What we need to make really sure, though, is that they are safe before we start using them in humans.
What are the big hurdles that need to be overcome in order to bring embryonic stem cells to the place where they can be applied to MS research?
There are several big hurdles that need to be overcome. First of all, we are really just learning how to take an embryonic stem cell and create limitless supplies of particular cell types, such as an oligodendrocyte. That's really, we've only known how to do that for several years, and we're still getting better. So there are really cellular biology tricks that we still need to learn. The second thing are regulatory hurdles, that we have never used embryonic stem cells in humans before. And there's a lot of issues that we have to address in public and with the Food and Drug Administration before they become a therapy. And we need to understand better their safety in other models of disease before we do clinical transplantation.
Dr. Kerr, what do you tell patients when they ask you about stem cells and their role in perhaps curing multiple sclerosis?
Well, I tell them that stem cells are coming, that they will be a therapy, we will see it, and they will be effective. I feel very strongly about that. I also tell them that it's not imminent, that it's going to take several years before we even do some of these clinical trials. And so for my patients, it's most important that they stay as healthy as they can now. They've got to be very engaged in a rehabilitation program. They've got to be on their medicine so that they can be ready to accept these therapies when they are available. I also tell them that I'm not convinced that it will necessarily be a cure, because it won't necessarily get rid of this autoimmune disease itself, but will keep it quiet and will induce repair. And that's very exciting in the sense that it can induce a recovery of function, not just halting further decline, but an actual recovery. But at the same time, I think we will continue to have to be diligent that the disease could come back in other forms later on, and we'll have to keep watching for that.
Thank you, Dr. Kerr.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us for these important discussions about MS and stem cell research. To learn more about the Society's efforts to be a driving force in MS research and our investments in over 350 MS research projects worldwide, please explore the research section of our national website at nationalmssociety.org. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but they do not represent individual therapeutic recommendations or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician. Funding for this series was made possible by the Multiple Sclerosis Society of Canada.